the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
One hour, 7 minutes. Okay, good. Welcome back,
everybody. No, 1 hour, 7 seconds.
7 seconds. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'll have to write that
down. Yeah, so it's almost an hour even. Anyways, Clown World. Let's talk about Clown World, this stuff. It never ceases to give us stories. It's just fucking...
We got some bangers this week, too. Bangers.
And well, I may have missed a few, so feel free to fill in the gap, because CPI is the first thing I want to talk about.
Okay, let me lead with a smaller one here. How's this one?
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Taken from Canada Housing 2 on Reddit. International students...
Let's do that. We'll do that on the Canadian side of things.
Okay, sure. Okay. Yeah, Clowns, fine. Okay.
Yeah, Clown World North is Clown World North.
Okay.
Respect the boundaries here.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
This is Clown World International, because the United States, their CPI came in 3.4% for the month of December, and it was slightly higher than anticipated, which was supposed to be 3.2, and even the core was higher. But fuck this. We all know this thing's it's a disaster. It's just manipulated numbers. It's fabricated. They're throwing darts on the wall here. But because these numbers even came in higher, right? Like, you know, it's probably going to raise some questions about moving forward with raising rates cutting rates.
It's not going to.
You think they're still going to go ahead with cutting rates the same pace? Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot more. We also do have the election coming up this year. So that's not really the wild card. That is the, you know, that's there.
It's front and center. It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Trump will fire all these guys. Vivek will fire all of them, plus half the people with like odd number social security numbers. It's plus Powell has already ensured in the States that everyone has a blank slate all over the world to cut whenever they want, because he's talking about, well, you can't wait till inflation gets to 2% to cut. You have to cut before that. Okay, perfect. Well, the trend is your friend, I guess. You know, if you have enough down months, one bad month's not going to kill you. One bad month is just an excuse to hedonically adjust to make sure the next one is in line with what you want. And, you know, before you know it, Len, you're back at 3.5%, 4% interest, whatever the, you know, terminal rate is, and you're cooking. Speaking of the election, the Iowa caucus is tonight, right? I think. What is that? They vote in. I still don't really know. I was a poli sci major at Brock, and I spent a lot of time playing basketball and chasing tail. I got to be honest. I don't know what the caucuses exactly work, what the function is, but it's big news, I think. And so let's see. All this stuff is going to start to take shape over the next, you know, 2 months, 3 months. And before you know it, you're going to have, I think, a rate cut by, I don't know what, May, March, April, something like that. It's going to be in the spring. Like, there's still going to be days where you're wearing pants outside when you get your first rate cut. I'll tell you that much. If you live in Ontario,
shorts now. It's
outside. I said, you sicko.
I still fucking wear shorts outside if given the opportunity.
You're deranged. I got, so these dogs, they go out and pee. I have a basement walkout here, and they go out to take a leak, and they won't come back in. They just want to fight. And my wife's got like Crocs down here, and I went out in the Crocs earlier just before we started recording. Actually, ooh, it is so cold outside, Len. So cold. I don't know how you're going out there in shorts. You're nuts.
I enjoy it. It's all summer. So yeah, you know that I listened to the Patrick Bet David podcast. I listen to that, and he mentioned, I'm not sure which podcast, but it was two or three podcasts ago, that in the world in 2024. There's going to be a number of elections held by
different. We've talked about this. It's basically the most first world elections in the same year ever. Martin Armstrong, by the way, who is he's a very bright guy, a little eccentric, I think, according to people who maybe don't like him that much. But he's basically said for a long time that 2024 is going to be completely insane just because of the elections. No one's going to accept results anywhere. There's going to be protests all over the world. And the risk for turmoil has basically never been greater. Meanwhile, you know, I'm in did you catch the game last night mode with my Bills toque on, and all this stuff is unfolding all around us, right? How many elections are this year? Do you have the number?
No, but I do know that it's going to be 3.5-ish billion people throughout the world.
Great stat by you. Yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
So, which if you think about that, so that's, you know, roughly half the population of the world.
It's more, right? If you think about the population of adults, that's got to be 70%, 75%, right?
I don't know how they've came up with this. I don't know if that's voting people that's going what I mean. Into 3.5 people, or just people living in those countries, the total number. I don't know how they came up with it. So I'm going to assume it's a total number of people, whatever the fuck it is. It's a sizable number of the population of the earth that is going to be going through an election. And if you believe that the central banks of each of these countries are politically motivated, so there's going to be a lot
of rate cuts going on. Do you believe that?
What do you think, Joey?
I asked Jeff Booth that two summers ago now. Do you remember that? And it was summer 22, and we had him on. I had to go to my wife's office. It was during the Rogers outage, and they still had internet over there. And I asked him if he thought banks were political animals or not, and he said he thought they were independent. I think he was wrong then, and I think he's wrong now. I think they're all political animals. Yeah,
on paper, he's correct on paper, but the reality is no.
Yeah, there's no way.
In Canada, you could look at the Bank of Canada. It's a point position, I believe. Or I don't know how it is in Canada, but specifically, but I know that somehow the Minister of Finance is involved in the board that picks it or something. So amazing. There's, you know, you could look at over here how it's done. Right, like how is Powell picked? I don't even know. Is it done
I think he's appointed by the president, is he not?
So there you go. That's
what I mean. He's playing defense for his job, you know what I mean? Unless he doesn't want to be the chair anymore, but I presume that he does. I mean, it's how many positions on earth can you get richer than the Federal Reserve chairman? That's really as good as it gets.
I would say congressperson.
There's not many though, is what I'm saying. Like this.
Oh, right.
If you lose that one, you're the likelihood of you being able to get another similar one is basically zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, with all this, and we also have the BTFP program that's
by the fucking paper program. Yeah.
you're forcing, not forcing.
Who said that? Someone said that at the conference. It was either Foss or Lepard, I think. They called it that on stage. I've never forgotten that. It's a great acronym.
I don't think we talk enough about it because this is something that, you know, was launched
almost a year ago.
Q1 2023, I think it was something like that. But anyways, that was a knee jerk reaction because there was banks were starting to collapse, were in the brink of collapse. Right. That's all it was. Right. And so this is straight from the Wall Street Journal. So I'm not making this shit up. I'm just reading it from the Wall Street Journal. This whole program, the BTFP program, it's actually being gamed by the banks themselves because while the Fed offers financing below 5% through its rescue program, it's currently paying banks 5.4% on parked reserve balances. So they're able to game the system. It's basically it's easy money from here. Who loses in the end? It's everyone because, well, there's going to be added liquidity as they make more and more of this money. So it's another thing that you can see that the closer you are to the ones that are pulling the strings, you're going to benefit the most. And they are. They're the ones that are able to take advantage of this and game the fucking system. They created this not because it's capitalist. No, they did this because they don't want to fucking have to deal with the mess of all these banks collapsing. Mm-hmm. And that's not capitalism. That's intervention by governments. That's the exact opposite of capitalism. So I see this, and this program is supposed to expire in the next few months. It's supposed to
run out of money. I'm going to see when it launches. I feel like it was either March or April when this started happening, right?
Yeah, something like that. But this, and it's not
March
a bottomless
12th,
pit of money.
March 12th.
Q1. Yeah. So at the end of Q1. So, I mean, it's not a bottomless pit of cash, too. It's supposed to run out of money in March or April this year. But unless they decide to extend it, you know, and it's possible that they do it, you know, like the banks are not really,
they will,
you know, they're probably right. Mm-hmm. So it's just another reason why centralized banks and the centralized system, it's, you know, it's only for the people it benefits those most that are closest to it. And really, it leaves us just fighting for scraps for another day of just fighting financial hardship. It's too bad.
Yeah.
But this is the reality. And so that's a program designed to help banks, but they're fucking gaming the system and we're getting fucked over in the end as a result.
How much help do they even get, right? Like that's one sort of element of the risk profile of a bank, but bank earnings, how have they been? I believe up here, they weren't that great. How were they over in the States last quarter? Know. I haven't looked. I should have checked actually. I didn't realize I hadn't really been thinking that BTFP was coming to a close. Like you mentioned, we don't talk about it enough, but it's a big deal. It's again, another signpost, right? Like someone's going to lose and it's not the average person. Well, we got to change rules to save them. Okay. Well, When do the rules actually become hard and fast? When do they become some level of permanent for people so that we have some predictability in the system? I'm told constantly that one of the pillars of functioning democratic economies is that there's, you know, predictability in the system thanks to rules-based order. I don't see any of that when it comes to finance. I don't see any of it. Everyone just cheats and lies and makes shit up. Here, of course, we're seeing the extended amortizations on mortgages and, you know, fake principal payments on homes. And I mean, none of it makes any sense at all. And I think people are going to be coming to Bitcoin more and more because of this. And one of the things I look forward to is, with the ETF available, how many people start to express risk in the US dollar with big Bitcoin buys at certain trading desks. I don't know, but that's possible now in a way it wasn't 4 days ago, 5 days ago, whatever day the launch was, right? So,
you know, it seems so long ago, doesn't it?
But stuff happens here like crazy. I think Narwhal in the chat was like, this big stuff in Bitcoin happens all the time. It's true. It just never, it doesn't. I mean, we do the show every week. We've talked about doing the show twice a week. I think we did for a while because there's just so much going on early in the pandemic. You could do this. We did a few weeks. We were doing like three or four episodes. We were bringing guests on to talk about certain things in Bitcoin. I think about Dean Linden, who came on a few times. I'd like to have him back on. I wonder how he's doing. I like Dean. To talk about different things he was thinking about that it's kind of sprung up because of the stuff that was going on in the pandemic. You don't get that in basically any other space, right? There's a lot of bloviating and bullshit on CNBC and Bloomberg and whatever, but in Bitcoin, stuff's actually happening. And this is an asset that's, again, monetizing in an environment where everyone can see the bank is just making shit up to protect its interests at the cost of fair and free competition. And this asset wasn't available 10 years ago to people. And the ETF wasn't available 4 days ago, 5 days ago. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens now, because you're going to be able to express any doubts you have in the US dollar or the US system or the fiat system in a way that you couldn't before. It's going to be instant. And that feedback loop is going to be something to behold.
If you're a Vanguard client, you're still not able to get it. So
can't do it. You can only, yeah, you can only trade oil futures.
Whatever. Looking in. You know, let's go to Clown World North, and you got that one story.
I love this. This more. I'm just gonna read this headline. Okay, international students with dependents can receive up to $2,400 for financial strain, while millions of Canadians will be deemed ineligible. You need to make less than approximately $43,000 to get the benefit. To be eligible, the person needs to be a resident of Canada, not a citizen. International students who are working will be eligible for the benefit if they have an eligible dependent. This applies to TFWs, temporary foreign workers, as well.
Who's running this program?
The Canadian federal government.
But I'm floored here. Why would they offer this only to permanent residents but not citizens?
I think it's to everybody. I think it's to everybody, but you don't have to be a citizen.
I thought, sorry, yeah. I misunderstood it. I thought.
So people living under bridges, people not able to afford, you know, cars, housing, whatever, childcare, education, but foreign workers, including TFWs, foreign students, via dependent, free money. Don't forget, Canada, the only country now, up until this year, it was the UK and Australia who offered this program as well, where you can come over and bring your family or your dependents with you if you become a PR, I think, or something of that nature, or if you're on the path to permanent residency. So you're going to see a lot of people coming here with dependents, I think, at some point.
Yeah. Well, okay. The way it was, like, you know, you got to bring your dependents with you, and it can't be like 30-year-olds, you know, they got to be something like 10. You got to, you know, that's the reality.
Still.
But yeah, like if you're coming, so this is the way I understood it to be. I don't still understand it to be. So when you're coming in, you know, if you're a guy or gal and you're immigrating to Canada, you got, you know, all go through the whole process. And you're married and you have kids. Why would you leave them behind? You bring them with you, and 100%. presumably, the spouse would be working as well, so they'd be contributing to the economy. And the young child or children will eventually be contributing to the economy. So there's going to be some benefit down the road too. So I mean, that's the way I understand it to be. Could be wrong, but you know, somebody correct me if I have.
We'll see. I mean, all I see is more and more money out the door to anyone who, you know, seems to me more likely to vote a certain way, or, you know, is more likely to provide cheap labor to big companies, oligopolies here in Canada. Mark in the chat saying, show me the incentives. I'm with you, man. I feel the same way. The incentives drive stuff like this. They drive programming that just doesn't make a ton of sense to most Canadians, especially those who are struggling. You know, me and you kind of knock on wood all the time. Things are good for both of us, thankfully, but there's a lot of people for whom they are not so good. And it'd be frustrating to see this. You know, I obviously work in like addiction services or volunteer in addiction services. And I look at like the number of dollars we get. It's a fight. Every dollar is a fight. And they got a fuck ton of money for this, I guess, which is, it's angering, honestly. Frustrating is not even a strong enough term. It's just money out the door when there's so many problems here that we need to solve that just are not being addressed, seemingly on purpose at this point. So make of all that what you will.
And today they were issuing out the checks up to, I think, around 12 million-ish Canadians for the climate action rebate. And I think it was around $2.5 billion was being totaled up, divvied out to those 12 million Canadians. I wonder how many of those Canadians are going to be using that to buy.
All of them should. TFW or whatever. What is it? temporary foreign worker. Definitely not that. What is it? Climate action rebate? CAR?
I guess. I don't know.
What did you do to earn your climate action rebate this quarter? Anything?
What did I do to earn it? Well, I paid for goods and stuff like that that contributed, you know, so my gasoline, I guess that's going towards it, you know, shit like that.
Nice.
That's a, whatever.
There are people on Twitter who like hop in the comments and swear that they're getting more money back than they're paying in these taxes, by the way.
There may be some people.
There's no fucking way.
I can't, because you know what? I don't have all the data. There may be. If you,
the PBO has said so many times that everyone is paying more than they're giving back.
Everyone's guaranteed 100%. There's not like one single Canadian.
Everybody.
I don't know. I have no fucking clue. I don't have all the data, so I'm not going to say for certain. No, until I have all the data.
I'm saying it on the show for certain. 100% of Canadians pay more than they're getting back. Joyce, what did you get back? I don't even know what I got back. I haven't looked. I didn't look at my rebate.
100, I guess. I don't know.
Same. I don't know. Like, do you get more if you have kids?
Beats the fuck out of me. You know, a lot of this is just outside my control. When I go anywhere and I buy something, whatever the total is, I give them money, right?
That's like, right. I know. What are you going to haggle at Costco? You can't.
And then, you know, whatever comes back, I just accept it with open arms, right?
Did you haggle with the Sega Genesis guy?
No, it was fucking great. You know what? Because just by luck, I do a search, like every couple of days, I do a search on Kijiji which is like a Canadian version of Craigslist for a Genesis console. And I did this. It's like, holy fuck. Somebody local, like literally like minutes from me, posted it the same day. It's like, holy fuck. And it was a fantastic deal with like 15 games. It's like, oh my God, for $100, can't go wrong. And that's those great. Games alone are worth more than $100. So the console is free, more than free. So I'll take that. I'm happy.
Super. Okay.
Anyways, yeah, the Clown World North will keep going down this path. And this could potentially be a Clown World Extreme story. It's borderline because we're all familiar with porch pirates, right?
We're all familiar
with this fucking thing, right? The people preying on others who have Amazon or other deliveries that are sent to their doorstep. And, well, things are getting interesting in Montreal, West Montreal specifically, as police have issued a warning. And to the people out there, they're issuing a warning not to the porch pirates. No. It's the people who had their goods stolen by these porch pirates, because this is straight from the communications from the police force. I'm not fucking just pulling.
Is it one guy who said it, or the actual comms department from the police?
The communication department.
Unreal. I understood it was one guy, but it's actually their.
He works for the community. Anyways, I'm gonna.
Holy fuck. Understand. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, you cannot post images yourself, because you have to remember in Canada, we have a presumption of innocence, and posting that picture could be a violation of private life.
So, was there a presumption of innocence for people who had their bank accounts frozen a couple years ago or not?
I don't go in that.
Was there a presumption of innocence for people when you go to the bank and tell them you want to take out $1,000 and, you know, use it to wipe your ass or not? Any other time? Is there one for any other time? Has that police department put out that statement for anyone else in the last 2 years?
But do you have the picture of the bank manager fucking stealing your money and putting? If you don't, you can't post anything. It's just
they put it in writing that they're stealing the money. I don't need a picture. They sent me
that's not enough. You gotta send me
the letter and say you can't keep your money. Yeah, we're keeping it for X, Y, and Z reasons. But I don't know, man.
Based on this story, like you could have fucking video evidence of somebody stealing something off your porch, right? And it's not AI generated or deep state, all that shit. It's just raw video footage. You can't post this on social media or else you can get fucked by the long arm of the law, which is, it seems like counterproductive. If somebody's
the kindest word you could ever use for what it seems.
Yeah, well,
it seems like a lot of things, but that's very kind.
You could have you could order something very nice off Amazon, have it delivered and it gets stolen and then your camera catches them stealing it. There's nothing you can do. You can't go posting it online and say, look, have you seen this dude or dudette? And if you have, let me know because they have something that they stole from me. You can't do that. You got to give it to the police and let them do the fucking investigation. And they're inundated with fucking everything. They're not going to find somebody.
They don't even care. They don't even care.
That's the reality of it.
The police department is just an administrative service at this point. They just fill out the report and TTYL. You get the carbon copy and you just frame it. Because you ain't going to see your shit again. That's for damn sure. Cars or your Amazon box. Doesn't matter what it is, how big, how serious. It's gone. It's gone.
That's Clown World Extreme.
But they got time to put out the statement about not taping them. So that's good. Glad they were able to get that out there. Who asks for that? There's no way the police department is the catalyst. Like there's no way an internal conversation catalyzes that outcome. So who asked for that statement? Is there like some, you know, cat burglar interest group out there who's like patrolling Twitter and saying that like this man's rights are being violated when you take a picture of him? By the way, it's always like some overweight woman in like, you know, what seemed to be like shrinking velvet pajama pants, you know, waddling onto a porch and waddling away. Easy to catch these people, but, you know, we just don't. And then you post it on like Nextdoor. I see stuff on Nextdoor all the time from my old neighborhood of people getting their shit stolen on Amazon. And like, I don't know what are you supposed to do if you can't do that?
Join in and go shopping.
And by the way, Toronto Sun ran a page, front page last week about that guy who was running a corner store or something or a pharmacy and was robbed for like the second or third time in a relatively short period. I don't know what a short period is for robberies, but let's say it's a year. And this time he had a baseball bat and he fucking slugged the guy a few times, got arrested. And so the guy comes onto his property, starts robbing him. He hits him with the bat. The cops get there. They arrest the guy with the bat, the owner, instead of the criminal, or maybe with the criminal, who knows? And Toronto Sun runs. Toronto Sun runs a story. Like, you know, this is a vigilante town now. The police will arrest.
There's more to it, though.
Like what? Like what?
The way I understood it to be is thief came in with bat.
Mm-hmm.
Thief then had a scuffle with the clerk. It's some young dude, right? Some like early 20s. And so they had a scuffle. Eventually the bat was taken away and the perpetrator left. The guy then left the store and went out to the sidewalk and started beating him a few times. Hit him. So
why should that be illegal? Honestly?
So that I'm not going to say that's a story. So they're saying that everybody was charged. The guy that came in with the bat was charged for, I forget exactly what, robbery and possession of a weapon, something like that. And then the guy who, the clerk who decided to defend himself was charged for, I think, assault because he took this outside the store and decided to continue the fight. So that's the reality. Again, that's borderline clown
world. Do you know how dumb that sounds? Like, I can't be alone in thinking that is just the dumbest shit of all time. Canadian, I'm not saying we need castle doctrine. Okay. I don't want to be able to kill somebody who comes onto my property unless it's a dire situation. But this idea,
you get charged for that.
I know. And we don't have castle doctrine here, like there is in certain states, but you have to be able to restrain, disable a person who comes to your property and causes damage and threatens you. That person is a threat. Whether they leave or don't leave, they are a threat. Period. End of story. You don't get to just leave. It's not like when you're playing tag with somebody and you run out of bounds and say that you're on timeout. You can't touch me. I'm on timeout. What the fuck is wrong with these people? That's not a stupid playground game. That's somebody's livelihood. That guy, presumably if the scuffle went a different way, could have died. You need to restrain that guy. That guy has to be disabled to the point where the police can get him so he doesn't come back or do it somewhere else. The guy is a threat. You can't arrest the store owner for that. You can't charge the store owner for that. It's fucking insane. It's completely insane.
What if he was a Conestoga student? Would that change anything?
Do they have a class on bat handling over there? Maybe they do. I don't know. If they did, the guy wouldn't have been able to get him, though. I'll tell you, that's for sure. Conestoga would never be able to teach a guy how to, you know, disarm an intruder and handle a bat.
They do it online. How the heck can you know they can't teach anybody?
Hybrid.
No, 100% online. Fuck. they don't have the space.
Oh man.
Well, since we're talking about students, Ontario universities,
yeah,
they're strapped for cash. I'm not sure if
Solution for them. Have you heard of international students?
Well, yeah, that's going to be the end result, unfortunately, because they're saying that half of the Ontario universities are running deficits right now.
Yeah.
And the budget deficits will be in total around $175 billion. And that number is going to be expected to rise to $273 billion in 2024-2025. This, if you look at it, is a sharp contrast to what is going on in U.S. schools, because some of them are sitting on billions and tens of billions in endowments. If you look at Harvard, for instance, I think the number is $50 or $60 billion.
It's a huge number. Yeah,
it's massive. And so you look at just night and day what's going on between post-secondary schools in the United States and Canada. And they're asking now for a 5% increase in tuition hikes and more direct funding. Well, one thing you have to understand, at least from what I've read, I could be wrong on this. 2018, Premier Ford, he froze tuition fees. So since 2018, they've frozen, plus he reduced it 10%. So considering how much money has gotten wrecked since then, they're not able to recoup anything. So I could understand that they're strapped for cash with respect to collecting money on that side. I don't know what, through funding and all that, but strictly through tuitions, that's going to be a real thing that hurts them. So I could understand why they want to increase tuition fees moving forward. But as you mentioned, one way to get around this is more international students, right? Like that seems to be.
Yeah, on a serious note, you could cut all your bullshit DEI programs and get rid of every single person involved in creating them, maintaining them, and administering them tomorrow, and your university would benefit and you'd have a better float. There, I fixed it for you. I should work for KPMG, honestly, because I could apply that same strategy to every private institution, public institution, and institution of any size, stripe.
Tenure, man. That's what you don't have to fucking deal with that fucking tenure.
Who cares?
Work.
Who cares? Tenure's fine.
I don't know how to fucking
cut your
deal with it.
Cut your DEI. Michigan University in the States has 500 people working in their diversity, equity, and inclusion programming. 500 fucking people for what? For what?
I don't know.
Cut them all. Your problem's fixed. Well, there's your flow.
Tenure, it changes everything.
Tenure is one thing, but I'm talking about administrative staff. For sure, there are people who are administering these programs. I'm just looking, doing a quick search here to see how many administrators per student there are in Canadian universities. And Fraser Institute, admittedly a conservative, talks about how bloated administrations and poor government policy are at Ontario, both secondary elementary schools and universities. I believe that to be the case. It is the case in healthcare. I don't see why it wouldn't be the case here. The bureaucracy expands to meet the needs of the expanding bureaucracy, as the saying goes. Anytime you see bureaucracy where the checks are guaranteed, what do you see, Len? They just keep growing. It's like a, you know, infinite cycle. So I would say start with cutting some of these programs. Things would be fine. You'd be better off and your students will be happier and you'll attract a higher quality of student, I think, if you get rid of these programs. And I don't see how that's controversial at this point. I think you're starting to see the metronome swing that way anyway in a lot of places, the United States, you know, not the least among them. I expect us to follow suit at some point, either before or after the next election. But people are tired of seeing this and they're tired of paying for it. And everything is a nice luxury belief until it costs you a little bit of money. And these universities that can't prove that they're not administratively bloated simply will not be able to recruit. End of story. People want to go to universities that are more reasonably priced, especially in this economic environment. It's not hard to figure this out.
I don't truly buy that, because a lot of people could go to state universities or colleges, and they don't. They go to the you know, one that has some sort of prestige to it.
In Canada, though?
No, I'm talking about in the States.
But I'm talking about here. You're talking about here, right?
Sorry, yeah, that's... I thought you were talking more because you're talking
in the States. In the States,
like, I don't know why people do that. There's some sort of privilege that comes.
There was some prestige, right? But now I don't think
if you go to Harvard, right?
maybe I don't know how's President Gay doing? She's out, right? She's done. She plagiarized her whole career. So
nobody could copy and paste better than her.
She's one of the best.
She got to a place. Nobody. That's the fucking goat of the copy and paster.
Yeah,
for sure. Prove me
Hall
wrong. I love the
Hall of Fame. Control V. Control C. Control V. Control. I have that backwards. See, I don't even know how to copy and paste. Everything's original here on CBP. That's a guarantee.
World Bank data, Joey. World Bank data. Because man, this is fucking awful. In the last 10 years,
I love this. I can't believe this is true. I had to go look at this myself.
The U.S. GDP per capita has grown 47% in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to repeat that. In the last 10 years, the U.S. GDP per capita increased 47%. Over that exact same time span, in Canada, it has grown 4%. 47 versus mm-hmm. 4. And if you take into account inflation, Joey, it's gone up 4% in 10 years. It has gone down way, way down in that 10-year period of time. And it's really sad because if you look at this, like if you take a step back and you try to just do a survey of what we have here, because we're blessed with all these natural resources. We're abundant in them, right? Yeah. Like we have a skilled labor force. The population is, well, it's educated, right? Let's be honest. The environment is politically stable. I don't care what anybody says. Compared to other parts of the world, it's fucking very stable. The banking system is sound in comparison to other parts of the world.
Yeah.
You name it. There's so much going for it. People would want to be throwing money hand over fist to invest in Canada. Yet we are experiencing this decline with respect to GDP per capita.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster.
Yeah. And it's not, you can't attribute it to like one particular political party that's done. This is 10 years, right? So it encompasses two, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2013 to 2023 was the number. Yeah. So
the last 2 years of Stevie Boy and now JT since 2015, 16, right? So,
yeah. And yeah, it was under minority government for a couple of those 4 or 5 years, whatever it was. Yeah. They had some support from one.
No, teamwork has made the dream work in this case. Unfortunately, there's no political stripe you can point the finger at. So what do you say? You know, what can you attribute this to? The real question then is like, how do you fix it? How do you get out from under this? You're starting to see the economists at basically every big five bank now talk about how the government has to do an about face on some of these policies, specifically relating to immigration, housing, and energy. And they just seem unwilling to do it. What else can you say, really? They seem unwilling to change the path they're on. And I've said this on the show before, whether you're a, you know, dyed in the wool liberal or a dyed in the wool conservative or a dyed in the wool NDP, then you still have to admit that some of these policies have so much inertia at this point. The snowball is so big and, you know, racing down the hill so fast that it doesn't matter who you vote for. Like the outcome is predetermined here. The question is, what are you going to do to protect yourself from it? And when people ask, why do you buy Bitcoin? I just say, look, here's a great stat for you. Do you have faith that this system, as Jeff Booth would say, this system can identify and fix the problems that it has caused? And at the same time, that the people who have, you know, been closest to, the spigot have benefited from? Do you think they can fix it? Do you think anyone in that system is going to be able to? They can't. They can't. I don't blame this necessarily on any one person, but that system has ground down any chance we had of getting out of this. And now we just wait. We just wait for the outcome, right? I think that's where I am. Do you feel the same way? Am I wrong on that?
Accelerate, baby. That's what I want to say.
Let's vote. Let's get out there and vote harder. I can't wait to vote for someone. I just want to vote so bad.
Yeah, you know who's probably not going to be going out and voting right away?
Who?
Because people in Alberta, because they're suffering through a severe cold spell. So much so that they have been told to stop using excessive electricity.
Amazing.
And as a result, because people are using electricity to heat their homes, and they're not able to meet the demand. And even Saskatchewan is exporting energy into Alberta to help meet their needs. And it's being done through coal and oil, if I believe correctly, natural gas. That's it. Natural gas and coal fired plants. So yeah, there you go. You got a province that is they're rich in fucking oil and natural gas. They have all this energy literally under their feet, and they're not able to use that to keep themselves warm. They're saying that there could be periodic blackouts if they don't start curtailing energy usage. They're telling people not to plug in their electric cars.
Yeah, great.
So yeah,
and they won't turn on anyways. Like on the bright side, when it's that cold that you can't charge them, then they're going to be too cold to use. So at least you don't have to worry about that. The funniest thing about this story is that we've been told for, I don't know, the better part of a decade at this point, more zealously and forcefully over the last like 10 months or 12 months, that we have to switch to all electric, no more gas stoves, no more anything. And then when you switch to them, they tell you can't use them. So I don't, what am I supposed to do? Just freeze? Like what's the plan? I'm okay with being encouraged to do certain things, but there needs to be a plan to make sure these things work in dire situations. And by the way, another thing you and I have discussed many times, the climate here is not friendly to those technologies. It simply is not. You know, not everyone is living in Southern Ontario. Anything north of Calgary, Len, you know, like, can you imagine? It's that cold all the time for 10 months, 9 months. Come on. If you go to the territories,
okay, the territory.
Or if you go,
Edmonton is north of Calgary, so I'm not gonna.
Okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying? The further north you get, you know, the colder you get. And by the way, like it was minus 25 here in Hamilton, Dundas on the weekend. You know, if you go up to Nipissing, or if you go even to like Muskoka, it's 10 more degrees. Between 5 and 10 more degrees. Your Tesla's not gonna work there either. And like the people who are saying that, oh, we need to be using electric appliances, electric cars, electric this, electric that, like you're going to freeze to death and be looking for the neighbor who has the gas powered generator when push comes to shove.
Bugs by candlelight.
Bugs. So you can, there's no bugs up here. We can't even convince the bugs to come here because it's too cold. We got to import the bugs from warmer climates.
Did it come with the international students?
We got to import the bugs. It's crazy. Nothing works, man. The system doesn't work. You gotta import. It's crazy. There's no Ontario bugs like Ontario strawberries. You can't get them.
Anyways, Toronto landowners, get ready. You're going to get rugged because they're saying that they're going to be raising property taxes over there to the tune of around 10.5%. Remember, people, inflation
is 3%. That's not the headline number, by the way. You know this story, right?
It's supposed to be much higher if they
16
don't.
16.5 if the province does come through with $250 million for shelter programs, which, by the way, is caused by homelessness and immigration. Continue, please, right, sir. Just want to get that out there.
So if that $250 million is given out, 10.5% is going to be the number. So nothing, it comes free here. But remember, 10.5% with that $250 billion. Inflation, official inflation for 2023, according to StatsCan, is 3.1%. There's a disconnect between the two. We can see what the reality is, and you can see what the official numbers are. They're totally fucking off. And the shit here, when you're charging 10.5% or more to property owners for property tax, this stuff rolls downhill, right? First, the people living in homes, owning homes, they're going to have less to spend as a result. So it's going to be less going to the movies, less going to they can spend at the grocery store, less on everything, right? Just less. Period, right? And then that impacts the local economy because they're not able to spend it there. But then also you have the landlords, and people fucking hate the landlords for what they're doing, but still they're going to pass on these extra costs to their renters because they're not going to just say, oh, we'll take the 10.5% and live with it. No. The first opportunity they're able to pass it on, they will. So renters are going to feel the pain as a result of all this. Mm-hmm. All this shit, unfortunately, rolls downhill and we all are going to take it. It's too bad.
What can you say? I had a tweet that a lot of people liked the other day. Like, you know, imagine living in Toronto, okay? You can't walk outside without smelling like weed. There's homeless people everywhere, drugs on the corner. You can't get an ambulance, can't drive anywhere, you can't afford rent, can't go out to eat, can't go out to get a beer. You can't live in the city because, you know, it's unlivable at this point for a lot of people. And, you know, your mayor tells you that they're spending, you know, $10 million on consultations to rename Yonge and Dundas and charging you 10% more on your property tax this year. Thanks. Like, you're, you don't
Did
know
you what see the doing. Name that they chose?
Yeah, it's some, I want to say Ghanaian, African I think descent, maybe. Is it?
I think I forget, it's Ghanaian.
I think the survey I saw was 2 in 3 Torontonians don't actually like the name at all. So
there's a history here. There's a dark history behind the name as well. I can't say it.
Yes.
So it seems odd they would choose this.
Why? They're stupid. They're stupid. They're dumb. I mean, you know that. I know you don't like to say pointed things, and I appreciate that because we can't both be doing it all the time. But how else can you describe what's going on over there besides dumb?
But it's not just them. It's the people that were, I don't want to say demanding it, but pushing for this change for the reason. Well, we know the reasons.
Everyone's dumb. Everyone's dumb.
Yeah, they are. Because
I don't care about, I don't care about your,
apply to everything. Like, don't fucking stop halfway.
I don't care about your skin color. I don't care about your ethnic background. I don't care about your position in society. If you're dumb, you're dumb. And a lot of the people involved in what's going on in Toronto are dumb. Period. End of story. From Chow all the way down, all the way sideways. Doesn't matter. Left, right, center. I don't care. It's all dumb over there. Dumb is completely consumed. Before we go, Boomer sent me an article here that I want to share that I almost can't believe I didn't see from CBC. Electric cars are the best vehicle in frigid temperatures. Len, the article is from 2 days ago. Oh. Like, what's going on at the CBC?
So advocates say this. Who are the advocates?
Does it fucking matter? Like,
no, it's not. It can't be just a nameless, like I say, a faceless person. I want to fucking
Tesla owners
shame these
people. It heats up faster than any gas car, said Tyler Krause, who sits on the board of Saskatchewan Electric Vehicle Association and founded.
There you go. So he's on his board of
EV. What a loser. You're such a loser, man. How do you own a Tesla drivers of a geographic area? Get a life, dude. Get a life.
So there you go. So this is not some neutral individual. Clearly, he's got a bias. He's driving.
Add him to the list of dumb people. No coiner of the week, Tyler Krause. Get a life, dude. Stop. Just stop. What do we do about these people? What do we do about them?
Let's. Things just play out.
Accelerate. Right? I'm going to start a fucking 07 Volvo owners of Southern Ontario club and talk about how gas cars are heating up so fast.
My car's 22 years old. I tried starting it today. It was bitter cold and it took a couple of tries to get it going. It finally got going, but it was a struggle.
It's almost time.
If I've changed the battery, it's good to go again. It's just the battery is getting a little bit older. I've changed the battery twice in that car, I think. So far.
Yeah.
So
this is a twice battery. In 20 years is pretty good.
It's on a third battery in 22 years. Yeah, so the first one is 8 years. The second one, I think, was also 8 years as well. So this one is getting, it's ready. And I could get maybe
Are you up past 500,000 clicks on that thing?
No, I'm just approaching. I've been stuck at this like just before 500,000 for 3 years, 4 years now. Yeah. I haven't driven much since March 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Until then it was like 20-25k a year steady, and maybe more.
My wife's driving a new car now, so
lucky.
Yeah, I'm still driving the old boy there. I like my car. I don't plan on giving it up anytime soon. Anyway, that's it. God bless everyone. New barbells and Bitcoin tomorrow with a twist, though. I don't think I'm going to be lifting weights. I have something else planned you might enjoy. I think I'm going to be talking about buying stuff for life instead of buying cheap stuff, which is something I've done a few times in the past like 10 years or so. So maybe you'll enjoy it. Maybe you won't. I haven't really given it much thought, but I have to do some stuff tomorrow that I
start with that 07 car.
Nah, I'm going to I have another plan. I have another plan, but anyway, it's going to be good. Do you want to share anything before we go? Are we good?
No, that's it. Thank you. It's been a rocking chat.
Yeah. As always, the chat's fucking killer every week now. I love it. Anyway, let's get out of here. Tell them what you got to tell them.
Don't be a cock.
Don't forget, everybody, lots of other stuff on CBP Media Network, including Two Whites and a Blue, me, Joey, my brother-in-law, Mike, and our friend Will talk about all the problems millennials are having with finance, romance,
and just getting by. If you'd like CBP, if you like the NHL 94 podcast, I guarantee you'll like that one. Search for it, Two Whites and a Blue, anywhere you get your podcasts. We look forward to seeing you.